Please open your Bibles this morning to Titus chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Titus chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, that these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, we praise you this morning. We know, Father, that day in and day out we go astray, that we seek to find our own way. And yet, Father, you have given us light on a path to follow. See it in all of its glory. Your word tells us how we are to walk, how we are to live, how we are to relate to each other and the world around us. Father, help us to truly show ourselves as faithful to you, children of the Most High God, that our actions, Father, would truly reflect your truth, and that we would delight in glorifying you in it. Father, strengthen us in our weakness. Give us your spirit overflowing that we may walk abundantly in your word. Father, we thank you. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. When we consider the words of Scripture, one of the most dangerous things that we tend to do, and I say that we tend to do it because it is a natural thing for each one of us to insert our own ideas, our own ideologies, our own desires into the Word of God so that it fits us. Instead of realizing that there is something that is perfect, well beyond our own ideas, well beyond what we think we see in life and how we think we should relate to it, the Word of God is sufficient and it is authoritative to tell us what is right and what is good. It is our job to subject ourselves to what God's Word says and not to think otherwise about things. How do we relate? What should our actions be in each and every moment of our life, in each circumstance or era of time? What is it that we should emulate? How should we shine like a light in this dark world? How should we be salt to preserve the will of God? When we look at the Word of God, and what we have before us today is God's Word to be taught to His church. These are not suggestions of what might help you to have a great life. They are not ideas or philosophies that you can choose from. These are directions from our King. They are His dictates. He tells us exactly how we are to honor him. How we are to focus on the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And how that affects everything else in our lives. So when we look at this text this morning, it tells us that we are to be subject to rulers and authorities. And we ask ourselves the question, why would we want to do that? We know that what the main focus of this text is primarily speaking of those who are in places of authority in the world. They sit in seats of power. They may sit on a throne or sit in an oval office. Those that are appointed to rule the kingdoms of the world. That's the context of here. But we need to understand some things about how God relates to these people before we can relate to them. Because if we do, we understand why God says certain things. We understand why things are going the way they are, even in our own country. If we look at Proverbs 24 for a moment, we see something here that each one of us should weigh heavy upon our hearts as we live in this country. Because as we talk about this, this is something that pertains to life today. This is not just for the way it was during the times of the apostles. This is the time for all time. The church does not transform with the culture. We stand opposed to the culture. The church should always look the same in the way they relate, in the attitudes of the heart. They should understand that there is a dynamic to what we know of God that overshadows every other reality that we see in the world. And so when we look at this text this morning, it says that we are to be subject. In other words, we are to be ruled by. We are to submit ourselves under. We are to obey. We are to acknowledge their authority. And then we ask the question, but how do we do that when such men are so evil? The question I would pose to everybody and anybody, show me one ruler at any era of the creation of this world who was truly the godliest of the godly. One, even David, who was considered a man after God's own heart, committed adultery and had a man murdered because of his sin. Name one. They do not exist. And if that is the case, if our way of looking at things is say, I will obey the authorities as long as they are obeying the authorities, we miss the whole point of Scripture. We then deem the authority to be subject to us and our opinions and our understandings of things. But listen to this. In Proverbs 24, it says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Listen to what he says next. This is really the attitude I see today when it comes to our government, the way the people look at it. The way the church looks at it, this is what I see. And then we ask the question, why does the authorities in our country act the way they do? Why are they allowed to do the things they do? We need to start looking at ourselves and saying, we disobey God's word. Listen to what it says. If we are those who rejoice when our enemies fall, if our heart is glad when they stumble, he says, bless the Lord, see that. See us acting that way toward the enemy of the church. We see that. And it says, and the Lord see it, and it displeases him. the way we act about those that God has appointed, when we look for their downfall, when we rejoice over their fall, over their demise, God says, if he sees this, he will be displeased. And he will turn away his wrath from him. The man who deserves the wrath in this world, God then turns away because his people do not honor him. That's what it's saying. It goes on, do not fret because of evildoers. You know, I don't know how much you listen to Christian radio. I don't know how much you listen to a lot of the preaching that goes on today. But literally, they're afraid. The church is afraid because of the direction this country's going in. We're afraid of what's going to happen. This says, don't fret because of the evildoers. We can look into our government system and we can see the people who are rulers and authorities. And we fret. We're afraid of what they're doing. We're afraid of where we're heading. Listen to what he says, though. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. In other words, no prospect here would be no future, no glory. There is nothing in front of them that will be prosperous. Their lamp will be put out. You see, we're worried about trying to manipulate our leaders and say, try to put them in our box, and we're mad at them, and we're vile against them. But God says, why are you worried? Do you not know that they are in my hands and they are my servants and they will get their due? I'm bringing this passage up because if we don't understand this, and the way we act, when we think we are acting in righteousness in the eyes of God, is evil. And we take his wrath out of his hand, and he turns back and says, they get what you give them. Wrath belongs to God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You know how many passages of Scripture talks about God and human authority? Those authorities that govern in this world, the countries, are in the palm of God's hand. But they are placed there by him, and their authority is real and is to be honored and is to be respected. Verse 21 of Proverbs 24 says, my son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. See, if we are not obeying God, instead trying to enforce our own aspect of righteousness, thinking that we have been called to change the world, we are not called to change the world. Yet every authority in this world has been established by God. They are his servants, whether they realize it or not. The heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he turns it where he wills. Not one king that's ever existed has done anything outside of God's will. If we go all the way back to Pharaoh, he raised up Pharaoh, an evil man. A brutal man, one who took the people of God and enslaved them, treated them harshly. And I find it funny that the God of all things, the creator of all, the almighty, the all-powerful, He could have swept in and just pulled his people out. But did he do that? No, he told Moses, he said, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And he did this numerous times, and he did not leave until when? Until Pharaoh said, leave. See, God establishes that authority for his glory. And in the evilness of that king, Pharaoh, God got all the glory. And at the same time, he honored the authority he gave, just like Christ did when he was standing trial and was told, do you not know that I have the power to let you live or to crucify you? And Christ very bluntly said, you would have no authority over me if it were not given to you from heaven. The man who had the earthly authority to have the Christ crucified. And Christ said, your authority is from heaven to crucify me. There is no other authority other than that. We have to understand this reality if we are to understand a command like this. And then there are so many other nuances about this. This is not going to be the only sermon on this. I think this is an extremely important subject in this time to really work at. Because as I've been studying, the text of Scripture keeps growing. That refers to how the authorities of this world are under God. And we need to obey God as he tells us to relate to those authorities. In Matthew 23:1, I want you to listen to this. Remember, do you remember Paul when he spoke harshly to the high priest? Do you remember what the high priest was saying? He was not being very godly towards Paul. He was not saying godly things. And Paul spoke harshly towards the high priest, and he was slapped for it. He says, you don't speak that way to the high priest. And he says, I was not aware that was the high priest. For the scripture says, you shall not despise the ones who rule over you. Paul repented of his actions when he found out who he was talking to. A man who was wanting to kill him. But listen to what Christ said. In Matthew 23:1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. I want you to just think about that statement for a minute. Christ, the Lord God, acknowledges Moses' seat had authority given by God. Moses was to rule. Moses was the absolute leader of God's people. And he tells the people around him that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He doesn't say they shouldn't sit in his seat. He says they do. In other words, they sit in the same place of authority that Moses sat in. And they say this, therefore, because they sit in that authoritative seat, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. what he says. Whatever they tell you to observe and do, that you observe and do. They have that authority. Do it. But listen to what he says next. But do not do according to their works. For they say, and they do not do. And then the list goes on and on. There is this long, we're going to go back through this on another sermon. But they go on and talk about how these scribes and Pharisees, they put heavy burdens on people. They're hard to bear. They say they do these works to be seen by men. Everything they do, their practices are evil. Their practices are evil. And throughout it, you see woe to the scribes and Pharisees. Christ is passing judgment on these scribes and Pharisees that he just said, because they sit in that authoritative seat, do what they tell you, but do not do what they do, because they are evil men. But their authority is real, even though they are evil men. Look through the history of Scripture. Every leader was evil in one way or another, and some were just totally evil. But God turns them the way he wants them to go. And so we get ourselves so worried about what our rulers in this country are doing that we disobey God. Instead of allowing God to render his judgment against them. And so we need to understand all of this so that we can understand that my job is to remind each and every one of you to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Are you listening to what this is saying? See, this is all in context. It all has to do with good works from the very beginning to the very end of verse 8. It all has to do with how we live our life and how we are to do this, not based upon a response to others, but as an acknowledgement of who we are in Christ. An acknowledgement of who God is in our life. And he says to do these things with a reason in here. To remember some things. To realize that these evil people aren't any different than we've been. Listen to what he says. Be ready for every good work. To speak evil of no one. Let's tie that in to the ones that are rulers and authorities. Speak evil of no ruler or authority. Tell me what the voice of the church is today. All we hear from pulpits, from Christian radio, is literally mocking, ridiculing the rulers and authority that God placed in this place. We may see their evil doing, but we are not allowed to mock them. We are not allowed to disrespect them. We are not allowed to not honor that seat that they are sitting in, because to do so, we dishonor God. Because that's what we're talking about here. This country is going to burn. It's not eternal. And we're so hell-bent to save the country that we're not saving the people. Listen to what this says. Speak evil of no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For, or because. Everything we just said in verses 1 and 2 are about what he's about to say. Be subject to rulers and authorities. For we ourselves, also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable for men. Do you understand what he's saying here? We are acting a way toward these authorities, to these rulers who are foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, because once we were the same way. In Timothy it says, it tells us how we are to treat them. I didn't even put that, I got so many scriptures about this. It tells us how we are to think about those who are rulers. We are to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray that God would redeem them from their wicked and evil ways. Not mock them. Not despise them. We have the ability to live in such a way that despite what they say, what they do, we live a certain way towards God according to His rule. And He says, be subject to rulers and authorities. Let's look at it like this. In 2 Peter, starting in verse 11, it says, beloved, I want you to draw flow of thought, the context through all this. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your, listen to what this says. He's telling us how we are to live as sojourners in this world. Acknowledging the fact that this is not our home. We are nothing but pilgrims here. We are passing through. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conduct, listen, he says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? You heard all this, right? Having your conduct honorable for the Gentiles. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, in other words, they can see how you live your life, glorify God on the day of visitation. You know what the very next line is? This is why we get confused sometimes. We're going into a new chapter. And people see chapter breaks as that's one thing, this is something else. There are no chapter breaks in the original writings. And if there were, therefore would make no sense whatsoever. Okay? So what does he say? Your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Think about what that's saying. We are to submit ourselves as having good conduct. Therefore, that's what the therefore there. Everything that he just said, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Are we following this aspect that good conduct of a Christian. Good conduct of a Christian requires submitting ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. In Ecclesiastes 8:2, it says, I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Obey your king because of your oath to God. I don't obey the magistrate of this country because I think they are smart, because I think they know what they're doing, because I think they're right. I obey them because God says. You obey them because of your oath to me. You obey them because that shows your honorable conduct to the Gentiles. I never hear anybody quote these verses when they are talking about how we should be standing opposed to our government right now. How should we be rebelling against everything they're telling us? Leave that to God, or he will remove his hand and we will be burdened with it. We are trying to step in the place of God. God mocks kings. We don't. The world hates authority. It's plain and nobody wants to answer to anybody for anything. They despise every kind of authority. Is that how the church should look? When we understand that there is no authority that's ever been established that has not been established by God, we aren't disobeying man. We're disobeying God. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good conduct, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king as supreme or to the governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We don't put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We join in with their ignorance. There is nothing in Scripture that says I'm to fight against the ruling authority. That's God's servant. Let God deal with him, and he will deal with him the same way he dealt with Moses, the same way he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, the same way he dealt with every leader in Israel, the same way he has dealt with every leader that's ever reigned in this world. He has brought them to their demise, and the majority of them to their eternal damnation. That is God's job, not mine. My job is to honor God. God will deal with his servants. He will deal with the men he appoints for his purpose. We don't know his purpose. He appointed Pharaoh to enslave his people, to murder them. To abuse them. And God said, I raised you up, Pharaoh, that I might show my power. So every ruler we have in office here, in this country, God raised him up to show his power. We honor that office, but we do not mimic the man. We not necessarily agree with the man, But we honor him. And we obey unless he tells us to explicitly disobey God. Because our obedience is based on obeying God. And I don't know that I have ever seen anything come down that directly tells me to disobey God from this government. There are a lot of laws that are on the books that allow things, but that's not telling me to do anything. The church needs to remember that the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, is not a part of the Scripture. It is a human document that would be burned to a crisp, never remembered, never admired again. As precious as that document is as a human document to this country, it is nothing but a human document. But God's kingdom is eternal. So I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lust to blaspheme, to ridicule, to despise those that God has ordained into offices. Most men do not know that they are there under God's rule. And therefore they will answer to God for their disobedience to him. But those men are not subject to us. They do not answer to us. They answer to God. Leave room for God's wrath. That's what we got to remember. So when we see these scriptures, and there are so many, and there's probably some passages you're wondering why I didn't bring up today, because I'm saving them for later. So here's the aspect of it all. We see two passages of scripture here now that talks about how we are to live certain ways before unbelievers, acknowledging that we once were just like them. Which means there are a couple things happening here. One, as we see in 1 Peter, that when they speak evil, when they speak against us as evildoers, is that not what we hear today? Is that what not comes down? Oh, we're evildoers. We're evil because we don't think that same sex should be married because it violates God's scripture. We're evildoers because we are hindering people from having happiness. We're evil because we don't think that it's right to kill your child in the womb. We honor life. We honor marriage. But to the world, we are evildoers. See, that's what they call us. We're bigots. We're trying to control everybody's life. No. I'm trying to save people's lives. I'm trying to warn people of the coming doom. And your way of life is building up wrath for that day of wrath. That's love. That's care, because I know that there is a God that will hold every man accountable. And I know that those that are going to be thrust into hellfire are no different than I was. For we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I want you to think about those statements right there, because there's two things I want you to think about in that. It says, we were once also this. So we should be the opposite of that. So whatever that says we once were, we should realize that is not who we are anymore. Amen. You see, it doesn't say that we once acted this way, does it? This is what we were. That is why you see people in authority today that act this way. Because they're no different than we are. They're foolish, disobedient, serving various lusts. And so, we have to think about this in light of salvation and in light of our calling, our commission. We were never commissioned to moralize the world. We were never commissioned to change the world. We were commissioned to make disciples for Christ. If we as a church, as a whole in this country, would obey the command of God and stop trying to legislate Christ on people, and bringing, instead of bringing Christ to people, I think we'd see unbelievable change. But what I see now is a rebellious church in this country, and I don't think God will be pleased. I think it goes right back. The church rejoices when who they think are their enemies falls. When there are things brought up against them that should not be spoken of, the church rejoices. When they see these men stumble, they applaud. But God says, at least the Lord see that and despises him. And he turn away his wrath from him. He turns his wrath away from the enemy. He turns his wrath away from the one that the wrath should be upon. Let's leave room for God's wrath, for his vengeance. That's not mine. I believe God. I trust him that he will do what is right, that he is just, that he is good, and that he will give to those that hate him his wrath, and to us who love him because of the grace poured out to us through Christ Jesus our Lord, will receive glory. Let's focus on the kingdom of God. Let God handle his servants that sit in the place of kings and governors. Let God deal with them. Let our focus be here, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will then add everything unto us. We are distracted by the evil in this world. When the word of God tells us, set your heart, set your mind on those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, we're so consumed by the filth in this world that our mind can't even go to the things of God. In our self-righteousness, as though the sins of rulers are against us, when those sins are against God, and God will deal with them. So let us remember that we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But remember this, that when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We are saved from what we are ridiculing other men from. And the only reason we're not like those men is because we've been saved from it. So when we slander them and we despise them, we despise ourselves and lose all of the honor for God. As it ends in verse 17 of 1 Peter, it says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the rule of all things, and everyone is your subject, whether they realize it or not. Help us, Father, to understand that you have it under control. No man will escape your hand. Either your hand of salvation or your hand of wrath, but no one will escape your hand. Father, you will give to everyone his due. Let us give room for your wrath toward those who despise you. Let us honor you by honoring those you command us to honor. Father, we praise you and we thank you today. May your glorious name be exalted, and may we do it by the way we live our lives, the way we proclaim your name. We thank you, Father, in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.